2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome to Tacos Fast 40, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. We will be going over Phoenix International, no longer Phoenix International, now it's the ISM Raceway. Now, the ISM Raceway Ticket Guardian 500 for this Sunday, and I know I usually try to get this out by Friday night, Saturday morning, but practice time is just so important here. I wanted to make this podcast really quickly after practice times are in, because these 10 lap speeds from the happy hour practice and just the speeds overall from this final practice are really important and usually pretty predictive, and definitely a big factor when it comes to ownership. So just going to run through this podcast real quick, probably a briefer version than the usual hour-long podcast. I'll probably end up rambling on for a little while and making it that long, but the goal is to get out there pretty quickly after this practice here, and we'll go over the track in a little bit. But first, I'd like to remind you guys that if you want to come check us out at DFSArmy.com, we've got everything you need to just dominate this race. We've got the research station where you can check out all of the different important splits here, be it this track type or stats from their previous races at Phoenix or their stats that they've collected so far this year, and then the projection system and the domination station where you can use to optimize as many lineups as you want. And of course, it comes with all of our other sports involved. You know, our NBA product is amazing, baseball is coming soon, and so on and so forth. You get all of that with one subscription here at DFS Army. You don't just have to purchase a different thing for every sport, so come check out our complete package at DFSArmy.com and use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 10% off. It'll come in handy, very much so. So back to this race here. Phoenix International Speedway is a 1 mile track. That's why we're having over 300 laps in this race, although the fall race, the race in the chase, actually has 234 laps in it. So this is the longer version of the Phoenix International Raceway. It's a D-shaped oval, and the banking is only 9 degrees here, so it's a very flat track. You can compare it a lot to a similar track in New Hampshire that's also a mile, 1 mile oval, and that has even lower banking of 7 degrees. And, you know, both tracks are very, very slow, riding at about 110 miles an hour on average. So in the stats, we like to look at New Hampshire pretty heavily, and also some other tracks that come in around the same size and, the flat banking. You know, there are other 1 mile tracks like Dover that have like 24 degree banking that you can't really look at there because it's a completely different monster. But, when looking at Phoenix, there are a decent amount of wrecks here. 91.3% of laps overall are finished by these drivers, and that ranked third lowest of all NASCAR circuits. And the percentage of the race ran under caution comes in at about 15%. And that's about average, but it does show that more guys have big devastating losses where they can't come back in early on in the race. And then when we look at guys who start in the very back, it's just like last week with Las Vegas. These guys put up almost no fantasy scoring whatsoever. They average about 14 fantasy points if you're starting in the back. And this is definitely an equipment track, even more so than Las Vegas. Like, if your equipment decides how good you're going to be here. If you're in mid-tier or lower-tier equipment, you're just going to go laps down. And the guys in the front, they tend to stay in the front and collect all of the dominator points that are going to be oh so important here. Oftentimes it's one person, especially in the Xfinity series where we've seen Kyle Busch like lead 150 laps every single time and win. Kevin Harvick is a little bit that way here at this track. Not so much last year, but for the most part, you're going to see one major dominator out there. You might also see someone else win the race at all, or you might see split domination between two drivers. And place differential is not going to be as huge here as at other tracks. We still have a very, very small field size. It's looking like 37 is the new standard for NASCAR here. And like I said, the guys in the back tend to stay in the back. And even for some of the middle tier guys, you know, like your Ty Dillons of the world that qualified kind of far back but are in okay enough equipment, those guys are going to be going a lap or two or three down as well. As we go through this race, they might end up like 10 laps down, just if this stays, you know, a green flag race. But like we've seen big time over the last 2 weeks, we saw almost no cautions really, outside of a couple of wrecks last week, or like the one that Kurt and Chase got into. But we've seen some very long green flag runs so far this year. It's definitely going to get, you know, Phoenix races a bit more like a short track. There's going to be some bumping and grinding out there for sure, but you're also going to see a large streak of just like single file racing. It can be a pretty boring race, honestly, if things don't get a little dicey out there. And they are going pretty slow, you know, with the lack of banking and whatnot. So if we look at how qualifying turned out, we can see that Martin Truex Jr. took the pole here. So no matter what, lap one, well, I guess he could crash lap one, but for the most part, we're going to assume that Martin Truex Jr. will lead the first lap, and that would be the first lap that he's led here in the last 10 races. He finished third here last year, but hasn't really racked up the dominator points, and not even fast laps. He only averages about 7 fast laps at Phoenix, which, you know, it's just not the kind of track that we saw work out for him very well in the past. You know, usually just coasting around like 15th position or so, you know, average running position of exactly 15th. But we did see a pretty good Martin Truex Jr. last year, but it's not like he was dominating. He just kind of coasted in towards the end there. You know, he only had 24 fast laps, which is a good amount for a normal week, but this there are more laps than usual here, so that's not actually that great, especially for Truex, someone that can rack up a lot of fast laps. And he hasn't actually gained a lot of fast laps so far this year. We haven't seen that speed from the Toyotas. I know he had to start in the back at Atlanta, but you know, this year he has another very expensive price tag. We saw last year at this race, when he finished third, he had an $11,300 price tag. And it's not a lot better this week. He's $10,900, dwarfed only by Kevin Harvick, who I assume most people are going to pay for. But with him starting back in 10th, if you can pay for both Truex and Harvick, that might be a popular way to start, getting the first chunk of lead laps from Truex, and then the second big chunk of, or, you know, the rest of the race dominated by Harvick. That seems to be the most likely outcome here. But he does have Kyle Larson and Elliott and Bowman, who have had a lot of success at Phoenix, right behind him. So three pretty hungry Chevys right behind this this lone Toyota, and his teammates are back in 6th and 7th. But I do really expect the defending champ to lead the first good amount of laps. I know that Larson was fastest in the first practice, but second practice he kept talking about how he was tire hopping when braking here, and that may lead to him racing a little bit more conservatively here, but it is Kyle Larson. He doesn't like to race conservatively usually, but, you know, it's just a little room for concern there. I'm not going to jump off of Larson completely. There's a chance that he could dominate some here, but I do see Truex being pretty safe for a good chunk of lead laps. You know, but in cash games, do you really stack Truex and Harvick together? I mean, it depends on what fits in the middle there, but it's going to be hard to pay for a bunch of these guys when you really, really, really want to stay away from the guys at the back here. So moving on to Larson here, he was good in practice, at least the first practice. And then again, like he was saying, he was concerned about the tire hopping. He was talking in the second practice about that's what he was looking to, get over in the happy hour practice. And he was okay. I mean, he was 7th quick overall in top 5 and 10 lap speeds. But at the end of the practice, he didn't sound confident about getting over the tire hopping for sure. So, you know, with this racing more like a short track, that is a little bit of a concern. And, you know, Larson, he kind of races better on steep tracks for sure, where he can ride the outside. So this, in general, this isn't really the kind of track you want him at. Last time here, he crashed, but the 2 times before they finished top 3. No wins yet, but, he looks like he's turned it around at this track and figured it out for sure. A lot of the younger guys really do have a good sense of this course compared to the older guys, outside of Harvick, obviously. Maybe it's just Harvick absorbing all the domination from this track. We've seen guys like Larson and Elliott have a lot of success here. Bowman, when he led all those laps replacing Dale Earnhardt Jr. So, for Larson, I like him, and I think the practice times are going to keep him somewhat popular. I don't know if everyone will know about the whole tire hopping thing, but he'll be popular enough just, with all the plays in the area. He's not going to be off the charts or past like 30% or anything, but you kind of want to work him into some situational lineups. You want to make some lineups for if Truex dominates off the start, and you want to make some lineups, probably less lineups, that are geared towards Larson, and then probably match them all up with a Kyle Busch or a Harvick or something like that. That's a good way to go. I don't know if I'd play them 1 and 2 together, but if you want to make for sure, if you want to make sure that you get the guys that lead off the bat, that could be viable. But I mean, looking at the stats of the guys that lead off of the pole, here at Atlanta, or not Atlanta, my bad. I don't know why I'm looking at Atlanta. Phoenix. Here at Phoenix, the guys that sit on the pole average 60 fantasy points, which is exactly middle of the pack for a race. Same goes with the laps led, 73 average laps led for the pole sitter. Very, very average, like 11th out of 23 races in NASCAR. Same with fast laps, 10th overall in fast laps to the pole sitter with an average of 32.5. Just completely average, just completely typical for a NASCAR race. So you don't have to think, the pole sitter is about of average value here. Maybe a little bit more value. Well, I mean, looking at the fantasy points, just average value compared to your usual pole sitter. And oftentimes I think those numbers can be a little bit skewed because, like in 2014, Kevin Harvick led all those laps starting third. And a few times Harvick started in the teens and just dominated. It's like Harvick kind of throws a few things off, but for the most part, we just see, Harvick dominate. But I do think that it is going to be important to get the guy that leads the first chunk of laps and then pair him with a guy like Harvick who you think will lead the second big chunk of laps. I don't see Truex being like an end-to-end dominator by any means. And with Larson, we kind of see that he goes up and down with tire wear. Sometimes we can see him, falling backwards because he's worn out his tires a bit. And sometimes we can also see him conserving his tires and riding up. But he's usually flying up and down the top 10 when he's not in the lead. So I don't see any of them being like the solo dominator here. That is definitely more reserved for Harvick if he leads, or if he moves up to lead really quick. So these guys are kind of on borrowed time with Harvick moving his way towards the front. But I could see using a good amount of both of them just because, if you lead the first like 30 or 40 laps, you're probably going to get about 20 fast laps to go with that. And that's about enough to push into value town. And, right behind those guys, Chase Elliott, a guy that has struggled a bit so far this year with a driver rating of only 77. It's never a good look, but here at this track, he's found a lot of success, and he was very fast in practice, second in 10, 15, and 20 lap averages, only behind Kevin Harvick. So his car is finally looking quick. His short track car looking a little bit better than his mile-and-a-half car right now. And we've seen these Chevys, outside of Larson, struggling a lot so far this year. But at least if you look at qualifying, second, third, and fourth, all all Chevys. Bowman's looking good. I mean, he looked great at this track when he filled in for Dale Jr., like I had said. And even looking at guys like Jamie McMurray, second fastest in first and second practice. Even guys like William Byron, you know, starting 11th, fourth quick in the first practice. I mean, Chevy's shown some speed this week that they have not shown in the weeks past. Although I guess last week they kind of overrepresented themselves in practice a little bit, but in the race they didn't look good. So we'll figure out during the race whether or not the Chevy stuff is fool's gold or not. And maybe it's worthwhile to make some Chevy stacks. But, you know, I could easily see a Chevy's doing well but not dominating at all. You know, if Truex leads to the first a big amount of laps, and then you've got a guy like Logano or Hamlin come in after that, or Kyle Busch, and all making way for Harvick to take the lead there. So I don't know. I'm still not huge on Chevy. I'm a big Chase fan, but I don't know if I believe it yet. I like the practice times a lot, and of course his history here is really good. We just haven't seen it from him yet. I'm just worried overall. I kind of have to see it before I believe it, at least with Hendricks, because Chip Ganassi's really showed themselves last week that they're really fast. You know, McMurray knifed his way up through the field before crashing. I kind of prefer them to Hendricks, but we'll have to see how this race goes down. His teammate Alex Bowman, $7,900, starting fourth, right behind him. Like I had said, he absolutely sucked at Phoenix, and he was talking about how his crew chiefs in years past just told him that he was terrible at qualifying at Phoenix, and then he finally got good equipment, and the first time he ever raced in good equipment, he sat on the pole and led over 100 laps. To be exact, he led 194 laps with 58 fast laps off of the pole in 2016, tilting me to no end, of course, because I was like, no way is Bowman gonna lead a bunch of laps, and he did. He absolutely made me eat crow there. Will he make me eat crow again? Because I again am not going to recommend him here. He's not starting off the pole, so he won't be guaranteed to lead anything. I assume I'll probably settle in behind Chase here and kind of work with him, and I know they have Larson there as well to form a little group, but then they've got they've got Logano and Hamlin, Busch around there. I just don't see Bowman being that fast. We saw okay speeds in practice. You know, second practice, he was fifth overall in speed, fifth in 10-lap averages. But I don't know. I still don't see it, and I'm not going to let one performance off of the pole from over a year ago change my opinion on that. You know, I don't think that's the standard there for Bowman. I think that he is really good at Phoenix, and I think that he's going to perform better than projected, really. But you can't, starting fourth, there's no value for him when he's going to work his way down into about 10th place or so, 10th through 15th position. And he hasn't looked that great so far. We haven't seen anything world beating from Bowman so far this year. So I'm not too huge on him. Joey Logano starting in fifth, $9,500, and he's looked really improved. Led some laps last week and was just there the entire race. He's looking a lot better than 2016 so far, or in my bad, 2017. Gosh, I'm a year off here. His 2018 season's been looking a lot better than his 2017 season. And starting fifth, I really don't like his practice times. His second practice, he looked really slow. I'm not entirely sure what the issue was there. They didn't talk about it much, but he could be really, really, really under-owned. Of all of the studs, him and Denny Hamlin, starting right next to him, are in kind of this dead zone, and they're going to be almost, not unowned, but like, you know, ownership's going to be in the teens, with all the other plays around them being a lot more appetizing. So you can kind of almost lump the analysis together with them. Logano and Hamlin are both fairly good at Phoenix. Logano won in 2016. Hamlin's just consistent with the top 10s, although he crashed here last year. Both have a driver rating of about 100 at this track type, with Logano being a little better than Hamlin. at Phoenix specifically, and doing a little bit better on the year than Hamlin has. Hamlin's going to have lower ownership than Hamlin. I said Hamlin's going to have lower ownership than Hamlin. No, Hamlin's going to have the same ownership as Hamlin, but he's going to have less ownership than Logano. Hamlin could be like under 15% owned, honestly. I don't see him garnering any ownership whatsoever. Starting sixth, $9,200 is a fair price, but when you're spending up this week, you really want to spend up on the guys you think will dominate a lot. And Hamlin looked all right last week and the week before. I guess last week he could have done a lot better starting 19th. He got that pit penalty that just ruined his day. But he's just going to be a forgotten man here, honestly. I don't see him getting any sort of ownership. Starting sixth is a hard spot to get value out of, but I could see him being a sneaky dominator. I don't think he's not going to dominate any of these laps. He averages 24 lead laps at Phoenix over the last 10 races. So even though he doesn't have the wins here, he has led some laps in the past. So I like him as a GPP play because I don't think many people are going to play Hamlin this week. Kyle Busch starting seventh. I like that. Of course, more in Xfinity where he absolutely dominates every single race at Phoenix and Xfinity. Here he hasn't won since his rookie season in 2005, but he's been a staple in the top five pretty much every race unless he crashes. Average driver rating of 116 at these 1 mile and flat tracks. It's the best of anyone in the field, even better than Harvick. And his, you know, at Phoenix, he's all right. He's not the best in the field, but, you know, pretty acceptable numbers. Average running position of 10th. Like I said with some other guys, no one else's numbers besides Harvick's going to look good here because he basically hogged all of the lead laps and fast laps himself and all the wins too. So Kyle Busch, he's starting seventh, so it's a decent spot for him to move up a little bit. But you know, it's just straight up like Harvick is going to be a better play than him. He just cost $1,000 more. Kyle Busch, definitely work him into your lineups here, but he's not going to be underowned by any means. People always play him, and the track history looks really good. Ownership's probably going to be about 30% or so, I'd go kind of under it and go other directions, just because, you know, when comparing a guy like Kyle Busch to a guy like Hamlin, I kind of like taking Hamlin at significantly less ownership, even though it's, you know, not the more optimal play. I don't know. I kind of like going more off of the ownership this week outside of like Harvick's. I just think Harvick's probably going to dominate again with how his car looked. Honestly, I think outside of Harvick, I think you just need to get the right combination around him, to be honest. Jamie McMurray is starting at eighth, which is really high for him, but he was awesome in practice. Second fastest in first and second practice. Ninth overall in 10 lap speeds, but he put in some really fast laps in both practices. Finished sixth here on 2017, or last year's chase race here. Has not finished outside of the top 20 in any of the last 10 races here. Usually finishing in the top 15. Second place finish in 2015. So he's pretty much a lock to stick around the top 10. And $7,600 starting eighth. I know he'll probably work his way backwards a little bit, or maybe even just stay where he is. But if he just stays where he's at, he could make for an all right value play. You know, starting eighth seems like a really high starting position for a guy on an average week, but this is the week where you want to play the guys starting up in front, so I don't mind McMurray for that. But I do prefer Erik Jones straight up a lot more than him. Jones starting ninth, he cost $8,300. He looked really, really good last week. And this is his favorite track, Phoenix. He's very good here in the Xfinity series, and so far has been awesome here. When he filled in for Matt Kenseth in 2015, after he crashed Logano, he put a top 20 finish on the board, which is really good. And then the last year in his two races, or in his first year of his NASCAR Cup Series career, he finished top 10 in both of those races, fourth in the fall race. Didn't lead any laps or anything, but it has about 10 fast laps on average, and that's really good for someone starting in ninth place. I assume that he'll just stick around that spot, maybe move up a little bit. He wasn't the fastest in the first practice, but top 10 in 10 lap speeds and just overall speed in the second practice, or the happy hour practice. So I do like that a lot. And I know his ownership's probably going to be up there, because a lot of people like playing Erik Jones, especially with this being his favorite track and all. But I really do like this play a lot in this range. It's going to be hard to get off of Almirola for around the same price, and he's one of the best plays you can make. But I do like exposing myself to Erik Jones quite a bit here. Starting in 10th, we have the main guy the slate is about here, Kevin Harvick. $11,400, a bit less than the $12,000 I was going for, but the price will do. He has one finish outside of the top five in the last 10 races here, and that was a sixth place finish last year in this race. Terrible performance of him by him, of course, just awful. We have not seen him dominate in the last two races of last year, but if you look past that, you know, in the fall race of 2016, he did finish fourth, but he won the spring race in 2016, second in the fall race of spring 2015, and then won the four races before that. Just looking at his averages, average running position of fourth, average finish of third and a half, lead laps, 106 lead laps on average, average of 55 lead laps, or fast laps. That is just incredible. And so far in the season, he has almost 400 lead laps and 150 fast laps already, just through the last two races alone. The guy is on fire right now, and he is at his absolute best track. And his track history here is probably better than anyone's track history anywhere in all of NASCAR. So we're to this situation again. And, you know, I've done a couple of podcasts at Phoenix, and I've mentioned the same thing, just his insane stats. Both of the times in these races last year, he did not make his way into the optimal lineup. I know it's a shocker, and he was in the top overall like scores. He finished in the top like five or six guys when it comes to scoring. It's just his price tag kept him out of the optimal lineup with other guys in the $10,000 range. Like last year at this race, Kyle Busch was the guy you needed, along with Chase Elliott when they had split domination. And it's extra noteworthy because Harvick had started 23rd this race last year and still didn't make the optimal lineup. But really, with how he's driving right now, I know everyone's really mad about him because he got trolled pretty hard, honestly, by all the people on social media. He is just nonstop complaining about the people on social media. They're posting pictures of him that got, or of his car last week. They got NASCAR to fine him, take away his crew chief for this week and next week, among other penalties. And for what it's worth, you know, those pictures are mostly of the rear window of his car. Those kind of collapsed in a little bit. The rear window clamp or whatever is off. And he said that. His words were that if you took all of the cars out there and tested them for him, like 20 of them would fail for the same thing. But the other thing that he got busted for was, I mean, it's hard to call this one a mistake or anything, but he was using steel for his, what do they call it, like the rear, the side skirts, that's what it is, the rear side skirts. And you're supposed to be using aluminum for that, so he got in trouble for that as well. So his win last week didn't count, but he's still probably really safe as far as the playoff goes. And you know he's got to be amped to win a third in a row, especially at a place he's just expected to win. He's a 2-1 favorite to win right now. So, you know, right now, Vegas is, you know, juice aside, Vegas is implying that about 30% of the time, 33% of the time, he wins this race. And that sounds about fair, because look at the last 10 races, he's won half the time. So even if you go further in back, he has more wins and top twos to his name here. He's just excellent. 8 wins overall at Phoenix. So Harvick is going to be the chalk. We're looking at over 60% ownership now. Fastest and speed overall in happy hour practice, fastest in 5, 10, 15, and 20 lap speeds. His car is ultra fast. He has no complaints. So he's going to be the chalk, but that ownership is going to be nuts. If you want to get off of him completely, and you're okay with just, you know, having most of the field crush you if Harvick does well. But if you want to take the risk and hope that something happens to Harvick, you could have a really good week if you're bold like that. If you just want to play the chalk, though, especially in cash, Harvick's going to be kind of a lock. So be that as it may. Let's get through the rest of this field here real quick. William Byron starting 11th. That's a bit too high for him. He was quick in the first practice, but the 10-lap speed in happy hour, 30th in the field, that's not great. 20th overall just in speed. Starting 11th, that's just too high for him, to be honest, and no one's going to really own him. Ryan Blaney starting 12th. Looked horrible. Horrible in happy hour practice. 26th in speed. 24th in 10-lap speeds. He's looking a lot better this year in that Penske equipment, but one thing we've noticed about him in his career, at least going back through the years with his Wood Brothers car, not the greatest at these types of tracks compared to, you know, your 1.5 mile tracks, and especially the plate tracks. That's more of where you all play Blaney here. Starting 12th, he's not going to garner that much ownership after being kind of chalky last week and then not leading laps off of the pole. Starting in 12th, it's okay, but he's $8,900 now, and he's almost as expensive as Jimmy Johnson. Like, he's getting really up there in price. And he just doesn't reel in a lot of fast laps at Phoenix or this track type. Under 3 average fast laps, this track type, it's not good at all. And he's never done anything really at Phoenix. Couple top 10 finishes, but no domination stats, and under 1 fast lap per race. So 3 fast laps overall in 4 races here. That's not good. It's not what we want to see from someone that's $8,900. Ryan Newman won this race last year, and historically is usually a top 10 kind of guy at Phoenix. He's looked pretty good so far this year. Looked great last week. Just kind of survived his way up to the front. 15th in every single practice, 10 lap, first practice, happy hour, all the practices, 15th. Starting 13th, you know, if you assume that he'll stay in like 15th, the value's okay. But I think he'll go up a little bit because he's pretty good at the kind of tracks where you just need enough equipment to stay on the lead lap. And I think that he can do that starting this high. You know, usually on any given week, I wouldn't like Newman starting 13th, but here I don't mind it at all for $7,700. And then Paul Menard starting 14th. I like this even a little bit more. Last week he looked incredible with the I think he ended up finishing 7th or 8th, but stayed like top 10 for the most of the race, and he looked like he belonged there. You can see the equipment difference with him. It's a night and day compared to when he was with RCR. Even though he's starting 14th, I like him a good amount this week. Definitely someone you want to work some exposures with. Finished 10th here in the fall race of 2016, but usually finishes in like the teens. Of course, that's when he was with RCR, so now he's in a much better car, basically Blaney's car from last year. And the practice times are okay, about as fast as Newman, if not a little bit slower, but I still don't mind him. Him and Newman, I kind of like them as like really comparable plays. Menard's just a little bit cheaper. So they're not going to crack 20% ownership. I like them a fair amount. Daniel Suarez, outside of some slowish practice times, starting 15th, he's just a mediocre play for me. Top 10 finish here in this race last year. But, you know, the race from last year, kind of a lot of it came down to pit strategy. So not the most compelling, you know, average running position of 18th. That seems about where he'll be starting in 15th. That means he's going to work his way backwards a little bit. But I do like the price tag of $7,400. I just kind of like Menard straight up a lot more than him. David Reagan starting 16th is too high. Don't play him. Jimmy Johnson starting 17th. It's not a bad spot for him, honestly. And he actually finished a race last week, so that was good. Worked his way to a 12th place finish. Had to fight really hard to stay on the lead lap, but He did his veteran things, was able to keep it on the lead lap, and had an alright finish. If he does that again this week, he'll make out for an alright value, but he's $9,000 again. No more 8K, Jimmy. Practice speeds were alright, 14th, 11th, 8th, and 10 lap speeds. I don't know, it's just $9,000. Definitely other plays that I kind of like better, like Hamlin, Logano, one Keselowski that we'll get to, and even a Kurt Busch I like a lot more than them straight up, but I'm not going to fade him by any means. I'm going to use some Jimmy Johnson because his ownership's still going to be pretty low, or at least compared to where it should be. But moving on to Austin Dillon, starting 18th, I like this play a lot. Well, not a whole lot, but I like it more than I usually would like Austin Dillon. He's looked good so far this season, outside of his win at Daytona, which is kind of random. He has looked pretty good in the 2 1.5 mile tracks we've raced down so far. And he's better at these 1 mile tracks than he is at 1.5 mile tracks, actually, if you look back at him through the years. Here he hasn't had quite the success that he's had at other tracks, although he had a top 10 finish in 2016. And last year at this race, the most recent race, he finished 14th. And it's all right, but starting 18th, I think he's going to just stick to a top 15 finish, somewhere between like 12th and 15th seems right for him. And he'll be right in that spot that we're kind of looking for, to stay right on the lead lap, maybe like the lucky dog spot. That's kind of what we really want to aim for here. And I think he's going to be a prime candidate for that. He got a little bit of that love last week. Clint Bowyer starting 19th. I would like him a bit more, but he's not good at this track, really. He was horrible at this track until last year. He finished 13th in this race both times on his first attempts with Stuart Haas Racing. So maybe he's gotten a little better at this track. But like this track type, I mean, he's good at like Martinsville and road courses, those kind of flat tracks. So you'd figure that he'd be good here. But over the years, he has just not been good historically. Even back when he was with Michael Waltrip Racing. I don't know, it's just not been his best track. But at $8,200, he is cheaper than in the weeks past. And while he only got one fast lap last week compared to the 17 from Atlanta, still a good amount. If he can put up any, if he can stay running in like the 10th position, he can make for value this week at $8,200. It's just that his teammate, Kurt Busch, right in that range, makes for an even better play. In the 20th starting position, AJ Allmendinger, $5,800, really cheap. Under 6,000 for him is going to always be really cheap. No finish better than 16th here in the last 10 years, which I'm not a big fan of that, but I'm also not a fan of his 20th starting position. I am a fan of his 10-lap practice speeds, though. He was 13th fastest overall in the field in 10-lap practice speeds, and his driver rating has been crap this year. I think he did have a crash in there, but it's been just awful. And at a track where equipment matters a lot, you know, he's not in the best equipment. Him and Chris Buescher, I'm worried about them this week. I know their prices are very enticing, and Buescher's even starting in an all right spot, but just I don't see them doing anything but going a few laps down here. I think they're just outside of like the lucky dog spot I kind of want to aim for here. So I'm not too huge on Allmendinger myself. Trevor Bayne starting 21st. No one's going to own him. That's like the upside to him. But Roush is looking horrible this week. Eric Almirola, starting 22nd, was excellent last week. Ended up coasting up from the 29th position and staying in the top 15 for all the race, pretty much. Ended up being a must-play last week, and looks like more of the same this week. He couldn't have had a better happy hour practice. Fourth quickest overall, and third best in 10-lap speeds. Also had some good 20-lap speeds as well, 15-20 lap speeds. Top 10 in this race last year, another top 10 in 2015, and really likes to finish in between, right in between like 17th place and 13th place, around there in the teens, but now that he is a member of Stuart Haas Racing and has a much faster car, he has even much higher upside. We love Almirola because he loves to qualify lower than he'll finish all the time. We see it all the time with him. He's not the greatest qualifier. Once he gets in the race, he is really good at these. He's great at flat tracks. Like, he's great at turning on flat tracks like Martinsville, road courses and stuff like that. But again, a lot of that data is from a completely different racing team than what he's with now. And it's nothing but a step up for him. So I'm just going to be playing a ton of Almirola. His price has gone up to $8,100, which I think is fair for him, but based on where he's qualified, it makes him a really good value this week. So big Almirola fan here, kind of like I am every week, but even more so this week. Then right behind him, his teammate, Kurt Busch, $8,600. Had a nice top 10 streak going until last year. I guess all the powers that he had at this track got absorbed by Clint Bowyer. Well, he didn't have the best go of it last year, coming in 21st and 25th in his two races here. He's still a really good Phoenix racer. Has looked awesome this year. Led some laps, had some fastest laps, some good finishes. Really, Fords have looked great overall. They just qualified like crap this week, and therefore, I kind of like using a lot of these guys. And man, how popular is the Stuart Haas Racing stat going to be? You know, you get Harvick for your Dominator, and then just take your place differential with Kurt Busch, Eric Almirola, Clint Bowyer. That's going to be so popular. You're going to tie with so many people. You even throw Bubba Wallace in that mix too. So Kurt Busch, I like him a lot. He's going to be a cash game play for me. Chris Buescher starting 24th, I don't like. I think it's kind of a trap. I know he's great for people last week. Don't see him working his way up the field this week as much. No way. He's not good at these types of tracks, and he's especially not good at Phoenix. Horrible driver rating of 41 at Phoenix. No good finishes. I would avoid him here. And Brad Keselowski, he's probably the safest place differential play on the board, starting 25th. Good history here, like a lot of other tracks. He's just a stud, 8-1 odds to win. He did struggle a bit in practice for him, you know, 13th and 12th fastest overall, 12th and 10 lap speeds, but for someone starting 25th, that's really good. He's just a hair under $10,000. He's going to cost you a little bit, so he's going to, you know, with him and Harvick costing so much, it's going to kind of weigh you a little down on salary, but I think you're just going to have to go with less of the four stud lineups and more of the three stud lineups this week. Keselowski looks safe, but he's not like a super lock like Truex starting last at a 1.5 or anything. Not crazy like that. But, you know, Keselowski, I definitely see him getting a fair amount of ownership, probably around 40% or so, and being one of the safest plays, definitely going to have a lot higher ownership in cash games. I think it's going to be an easy way to go about in cash games, just taking Keselowski with a Harvick or something like that. So, you know, that play kind of speaks for itself. Casey Kane is starting 26th, and it's only $6,200. Very cheap for him, but he is dealing with the flu, and he did not look good in practice either. Only 28th overall in speed. I don't really know much about it. I ain't no doctor, but he wasn't looking great. They barely showed anything on the coverage about him, but keep an eye on him. Maybe check on his Twitter or something. Get the word on him, but he's looking like a game-time decision. I mean, he'll probably race. He's just not feeling 100%. If he was feeling 100%, I would like him here. He's gotten a fair amount of fast laps throughout the year so far, even though he hasn't had the best finishes. But starting 26th and at such a cheap price, I would really like Casey Kane. It's just that, you know, with the flu, I mean, I had the flu and it put me in the hospital for a few days. This stuff don't mess around. So I can't really be too bullish on Kane or use a big amount of him, but I'll use some just in case he gets it together and has a race as expected. You know, just worried about the flu there with him. And then Bubba Wallace, $6,600, starting 27th. He looked even slower in practice. He's looked really bad so far. This season, I expected really good things out of Bubba, and he just hasn't shown it so far, at least at these 1.5 mile tracks. I don't really know much about him at Phoenix. He's okay in Xfinity, at the Phoenix track, but, starting 27th, I would say it's a good spot for him, but I don't even know anymore. And I'm really trying to stay away from these guys in the back end equipment like him and Ty Dillon, etc., Chris Buescher, you know. So I'll use some Bubba, definitely stack him in some Ford stacks, but outside of that, you know, those practice times are really alarming, and he just hasn't looked that great. Ty Dillon starting 28th. Man, last year, if you would tell me that Dillon was starting 28th, 30th, 31st, or whatever, I'd be locking him in all the time. And doing that this year so far has not been the most lucrative. Driver rating of only 45, and he's finished these races. Average running position at 26th, just not looking good. And, you know, he'll move up a few spots, but he's going to be like 5, 6, 7 laps down by the end of the race. Even more than that, possibly. You know, that's the concern about all of these guys starting like 25th and back, really. Past Keselowski, who you know is going to stay on the lead lap. None of these guys are going to stay on the lead lap, so you really have to limit your exposure to these guys. And you've got one of the more obvious place differential plays that might be a bit of a trap this week is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. $7,100 is a big price cut for him. He crashed in first practice and replaced the car with a backup. 22nd overall in speed, that's all right. He'll be starting 29th, so he does represent some value. And he's going to be a popular play, especially with him finishing top 10 at this race, both times he raced here last year. It's just, you know, with a backup car, with a team like Roush, it's not as lights out as like a Stuart Haas backup car or JGR backup car or something like that. But, you know, starting 29th at only $7,100, he's going to be a pretty popular, like, cash game type play. Just know that you shouldn't bet the house on him, at least in a backup car. You never know what could go wrong with those. And then the rest of the field is just trash, of course. Matt DiBenedetto starting 30th. He's never finished worse than 30th in six races here, outside of his first race, the first race of his career here. But he's never finished better than like 20th either. He might move up a spot or two, but really, no, I don't see playing DiBenedetto. And then McDowell, he's the one play in this range that I do like starting 31st. And in first practice, he wasn't looking like he was going to be as sneaky as I thought, but in second practice, he moved his practice speeds up to 21st overall in both 10-lap speeds and final practice, so that's encouraging. And this at this race last year, he finished 22nd and 24th, and if he could do something like that again, he makes out for an excellent value at only $5,200. That's really cheap for McDowell. And with you needing to pay for Harvick possibly here, and Keselowski at 9-9, McDowell, you're going to find him in your lineups quite a bit this week, probably overexposed to the field, I would hope so. Because starting 31st, and with guys like Gaulding, LaJoy, Kennington behind him, I don't see him going that far backwards. He could possibly work his way up. Now, his upside's limited, of course, because he's going to be laps down after a while, but I like for him. I just like him because his price tag at $5,200 is way too cheap, and I definitely see him going up at least a handful of spots. You got Gaulding at 32nd, no. LaJoy, 33rd, no. Kennington, 34th, no. Chastain and Earnhardt, 36th and 37th, just no, don't play those guys. That'll do it for the pod, because there's no... You don't play any of these guys. Not even Earnhardt starting last. No, just don't do it. Uncheck those guys from the domination station. And yeah, that's really going to do it for the pod. I got to get going here. I got to get this pod out to the people before it's race day. So we will see you guys next week. And hope you guys win all the money. Remember to check us out at dfsarmy.com. And use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 10% discount. All right, I will see you guys in Slack during the race tomorrow, of course, if you're a member. And if you're just a listener here, I'll see you guys next week. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. Yeah.